Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is important to understand the distinction given to us in the Word of God with regard to the penalty of sin and the consequences of sin. God forgives the penalty of sin, death, but we suffer the consequences of sin. We are enjoined by Scripture to understand that be not deceived, for whatsoever a man soweth or woman, that shall he or she also reap. I'm going to be reading from 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw Reah, observed a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was and how the soldiers were and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. When David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked him, "Haven't you just come from a distance? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open field. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants and did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fiercest, then withdraw from him so that he be struck down and die." While Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messenger, "When you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up and he may ask you, why did you get so close to the city to fight? Didn't you know they would shoot arrows from the wall? Who killed Abimelech of Bathsheba? Didn't a woman throw an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebes? Why did you get so close to the wall? If he asks you this, then say to him, also, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. The messenger set out, and when he arrived, he told David everything Joab had sent him to say. The messenger said to David, the men overpowered us and came out against us in the open. But we drove them back to the entrance to the city gate. Then the archers shot arrows at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. David told the messenger, say this to Joab, don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as another. Press the attack against the city and destroy it. Say this to encourage Joab. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. This is a very shocking account. And it is shocking for various reasons. But this is a narrative of David's kingly power. David is prominent in the narrative structure, and Uriah and others are the background. And please note in verse 1, notice the setting, and that one starts on a path to sin when one's duty is neglected. David should have been with his men. David was more in danger in Jerusalem than with his army in the field. He had laid aside his armor, Ephesians 6:10, and allowed his eyes to wander and lust to overpower him, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And so, like our first parents, we try to cover our sins. But God will find us out, Genesis 3:7, Proverbs 28:13. Notice the slippery slope of sin. We have David the adulterer, who became a liar and a schemer and then a murderer. It is very interesting that David committed one sin and then kept on sinning to cover up the preceding sin. There is also this conspiracy to deceive an unsuspecting husband. And we see in Uriah the Hittite, who was one of David's mighty men, we see his devotion, and we see the desperation of David to try to cover his sin. And so, hence, the decision to murder Uriah. David's plan worked. His plan worked for a moment. That is, from human viewpoint. Scheme had worked, and it would seem that David had covered up his sin. But no one can cover over sin. The cover up will only last for a short time. Whatsoever a man or woman soweth, that shall he or she also reap. This is the word of God. This is the truth of God. We are warned by the scripture to understand that your sin will find you out. Now, sin will hunt you down, find you out, and make you pay. And so, we see this at work in David's life. So, we need to look back. We need to look ahead. We need to look around. We need to look up. Before you yield to temptation, to sin, look back and recall God's goodness to you. Look ahead and remember the wages of sin, and look around and think of all the people who may be affected by what you do. And then look up and ask for strength to say no to sin. In chapter 12, Nathan comes to David and he rebukes David. David is told the story beginning in chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little wee lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew up with him and his children, and he shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arm. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the wee lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'You are the man, the man.' This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." You must remember that all sin is against God. Against you, and you only have I sin. Now, verse 11, chapter 12, 2 Samuel reads, this is what the Lord says: "Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to the one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in the broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. The son born to you will die." Forgiveness that ignores justice is only a fiction. And so we see in this context the relationship between forgiveness and justice. Now David will come to learn the consequences of forgiven sin. And note that Yahweh will oversee the consequences of David's actions in his own house. The chastening hand, or God's chastening, proves that God loves us, and our yielding proves our love to him. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.